How'd you get into entrepreneurship?
My dad started a company when I was very young. So grew up amidst that kind of crazy journey.
Right.
Really just caught the entrepreneurial bug during that time. And in fact, I have three brothers and we all have our own businesses. So safe to say, it's a funny, you know, reunion when we're all talking about that at the dinner table.
What are some of the challenges that you guys face when you guys were starting or even facing right now?
Definitely facing right now. It's always, you know, a challenge, just new challenges as you grow and get bigger. I feel like we all walk into grocery stores and the beverage wall is hundreds of different competitors all doing slightly different things. So trying to stick out on that beverage shelf is really, really hard, trying to grab the attention of your consumers. People need community. People need accountability to do it. And so in living out our mission, that's been a bit of a journey to get to about you can't just, you know, tell people what to do. You really need to live it, and you need to provide ways for people to understand that outside of just showing up on social media. So we've really strove to do that and had to toy around with different ways in which that can be accomplished. But delivering that impact to the consumer has just been so rewarding for us.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Duck Pond Podcast. Today we have Caroline Brain, founder of Kith Natural Soda, where she turned her gut health struggles into sip-worthy solutions. After facing brain fog, fatigue, hormone issues, she brewed a kefir soda packed with probiotics, low sugar, and zero artificial anything. Kif isn't just a drink, it's a community in a busy form. Caroline, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
We were just talking before the recording started, and you're from Kansas City, right?
I am, Midwestern born and raised.
Were your parents in business? How'd you get into entrepreneurship?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, in fact, my dad started a company when I was very young, and he actually ended up taking it public. So grew up amidst that kind of crazy journey.
Right.
And really just caught the entrepreneurial bug during that time. And in fact, I have three brothers and we all have our own businesses. So safe to say.
That's amazing.
It's a funny, you know, reunion when we're all talking about that at the dinner table.
Are you the youngest?
I'm the second oldest.
And did your older brother start a business and then you caught it too, or did everyone just start in the same time?
Yeah, in fact, my older brother started his company first. He's about 2 years older. He mainly does real estate development, but like all sorts of different things, has little side projects, always new ideas. And then after that, my younger brother, who's about a year younger than me, started a wine company like right out of college. He imports wine from South Africa. It's amazing. And it's funny enough, like I never thought I'd be in the beverage business, but there's something about it that called to me. And watching him do that was so much inspiration. So I started my company after that. And then my youngest brother hopped on that bandwagon as well a few years later.
The family dinner has to be very interesting. It's like sitting in a boardroom.
We're all like, you know, helping each other, solidarity, but also horror stories, talking through issues. Yeah, it's pretty entertaining.
I think it's so important to have that community, and it's so rare to have that in your own household. You know, a lot of people search for that, going to networking dinners, having different friend groups that do business, but you have it under your household roof.
Yeah, I would say maybe a blessing and a curse, because sometimes you're like, let's talk about other stuff. You want to take your brain off of it. But no, all goes to say it's great. Community is so important in entrepreneurship. I don't think it's even talked about enough. So yeah, I do feel grateful.
Very, very jealous. I want to dive into the beverage space. I've actually interviewed a few other beverage founders on the show, and the common theme is that it is extremely challenging. There's limited shelf space, the logistics are a nightmare. What are some of the challenges that you guys face when you guys were starting or even facing right now?
Yeah, no, definitely facing right now. It's always, you know, a challenge, just new challenges as you grow and get bigger. But everything you said is right on the money, like super competitive. I feel like we all walk into grocery stores and the beverage wall is hundreds of different competitors all doing slightly different things. So trying to stick out on that beverage shelf is really, really hard, trying to grab the attention of your consumer. So that's everything from packaging to, you know, hitting the right price. And there's so much that goes into that, from, you know, your cost structure to your logistics. Like, it's just one giant puzzle piece.
Right.
So safe to say there's a lot that you have to work out. Right now, We just launched a rebrand kind of to that end, trying to speak to our consumer better. I have some cans of our new rebrand up behind me. And so we identified a bit of a problem in quickly communicating the value of our product to our consumer. So that was the ethos of the rebrand. How can we do that? And that's actually when we came up with our new tagline, Nature Soda, which was very intentional. We were moving actually into the soda space very intentionally. Beforehand, we'd been in an emerging brand space, product space called kefir. A lot of people don't know about kefir soda. Many people know about milk kefir, a dairy product. There's an ancient version that's water-based, kind of like kombucha, but a lot less vinegary, really potent in probiotics. That's exactly what we brew. And we were advertising ourselves as such, but we came to realize that it's still too early. People don't know what it is. People, you've got to talk to them in their language. So we took that and then we studied how do people, describe us? What's our differentiation? And we realized at the end of the day, like we're fermented sugar water, very low in sugar, but still in that essence, a soda. Very light, very refreshing. But we're incredibly beneficial nutritionally, health-wise, because of the probiotics and the low sugar. So within the soda space, we're natural. We're created through this natural process of fermentation. We only use all natural ingredients. So all those things led to our rebrand, our new tagline, our new design. And so that's just hit shelves a few months ago. And right now, we're just trying to get the word out to tell people why we made the switch. And then to drive trial. So that's just about getting, showing up in those retailers, demos, explaining the product, running marketing campaigns, all that good stuff.
I think it's so important that you guys position yourself as Nature Soda, because when people think about soda, it's always the bad PR, the bad reps that all these giant soda companies have put together. And you can really cut through the noise by positioning yourself as using all natural ingredients. That's very, very rare.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I mean, it's, a risk. It's a bit of a gamble because like you said, like soda doesn't na have a natural connotation to it traditionally. So, I think there's so much magic in that when you have two things that are seemingly,
Paradox.
Analogous and then you marry them together and it creates this, oh, really, like piques your curiosity. What does that mean? I never thought of soda that way. So, it's an exciting place to be, but it does come with some hurdles for sure.
You started Kif during your own gut health journey. You were battling brain fog, fatigue, hormonal imbalance. What was the toughest part of starting this company while also healing yourself? Were you using a lot of your own pain points as inspirations and even, trying to test whether or not it works on yourself? Did you conduct tests? What were the process of starting Kif?
Yeah, no, great question. Yeah, I won't say starting a company when you're like still trying to heal yourself was an easy feat, but one foot in front of the other. We've got so far. But yeah, I really, went through a number of chronic health issues. That was around now almost 8 years ago, so feels like a lifetime. They all cropped up. I was in my late mid-20s and thought I was doing everything right health-wise, like eating all the right things, exercising, trying to practice mindfulness, all that good stuff. And then just seemingly developed brain fog and chronic fatigue, stress fractures. I had, adult acne. I just felt completely outside of myself and couldn't figure out what was going on. Long story short, discovered a lot of my issues actually stemmed from poor gut microbiome health. And in sharing my story with other people, especially women, I was just shocked by how many people around me felt like they were, living a similar situation. And gut microbiome health and all these issues feel somewhat taboo. So I felt like a lot of people didn't want to openly share about them until, I was really upfront by it. But all goes to say, I was just really taken aback that this is a serious issue. Not enough people are dealing with it. Talking about it. So I really wanted to get in there. And as I was healing myself and finding things that worked, like probiotics were just something that kept coming up. They were probiotics, a lot of people don't even know, is just a fancy word for these microorganisms that actually live inside of us. They mainly populate our gut microbiome. They make up our microbiome. And they perform so many functions in keeping us healthy and happy, like from fortifying your gut lining to helping you digest food to helping create critical neurotransmitters that actually keep us happy. Like things like serotonin and dopamine are actually manufactured in your gut. A lot of people don't realize. So was astounded by this whole realm and realized that probiotic rich foods are so missing in the American diet, and started fermenting anything I could get my hands on. Loved all things fermented, like fell in love with that food group, but also realized that they are not so approachable traditionally for most Americans. Like, you know, kimchi and your sauerkraut, even your sourdough people find kind of weird, kombucha even. And I was like, okay, there's got to be something out there that's more accessible for people that they can more easily incorporate into their daily diet. And I started brewing kefir. Originally, I was calling it kefir water. Now we're calling it kefir soda, but was just taken aback by how light and refreshing it was. And then I started sharing it with my community, and people who were dealing with similar issues as me were like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I didn't even realize it was fermented and so good for me. So that was really just my light bulb moment. I was like, this is an issue that needs to be dealt with. And this is a product that I really think people can get behind. So, you know, started the company in the early days, was still working on my health, and having to manage that was definitely tricky, but was so encouraged by not only how good I felt, but hearing from my customers. Like, you know, it felt like it started their day on the right note, and it gave them this domino effect where they could choose better things for themselves throughout the day and the week. And it just felt like it fit so much more easily into people's lives, and people were so grateful. And that was really just, I think, the encouragement that I needed to keep things going since day one.
So wonderful to hear. You know, fermented drinks, kefir sodas, and probiotics, they're pretty powerful, but they're quite misunderstood. There's a lot of misconception about it from the consumers. What would you say are some of the misconceptions, and how do you introduce kefir so people can understand what it could do for them?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's within a realm that people do misunderstand a lot because, you know, unfortunately, I think during COVID and just modern day, people are really scared of bacteria. Bacteria have gotten like a really bad rap in the last 100 years since we honestly discovered them and their role in, you know, your immune system and virology and all these things. But what people don't understand is like 99% of bacteria are either beneficial, they're good for you, or they're pretty neutral. Most bacteria out there is not actually pathogenic, a very small percentage. But people just hear bacteria and they're like, oh no. So if you talk about, that's why probiotics kind of works, because people don't understand them as these microorganisms, one of which is bacteria. But when you distill down to that, they're like, oh my God, I'm drinking bacteria. What am I doing? Am I like killing myself? This is bad for me. And in fact, no, just like, you know, viruses, especially when you get vaccines, you introduce a little bit of that virus to develop, you know, that immune response that we need in our daily lives. Probiotics are like that. You need to get exposure to these things in very small amounts to develop a resilient immune system. So I like to, in not so many words, kind of teach people about that. And one of the best ways that I do that is by describing a garden. Like your garden, your microbiome is made up of all these different plants, we'll say, different living beings. And to have a resilient garden that can, you know, come back after it gets wiped out by a bad storm or like an infestation of any kind is having a diverse garden. So you want to have a diverse garden of all these living beings. And the very same thing is true for your microbiome. You want to have a diverse abundance of different microorganisms so that if anything was to happen, you know, you get food poisoning or you get sick in a different way or whatever, you can build up that resilience. So that's a really good analogy that I've felt has, you know, sunk in with people. And that's also part of why we're calling it nature soda and really leaning into the natural aspect and all the things that nature can teach us about how we can live and be healthy. So that's been a fun like journey in trying to figure out that talk track. And it's really resonating with people. So it's an exciting new chapter to be in.
I'm super excited for you, and I can't wait to try it. I know you guys are in Erewhon. You guys are at Happier Grocers, which we have in New York. I think that's where I saw you guys on the shelf initially. Oh, nice. and piqued my interest. And you guys just have a incredible design, really eye-catching design. I want to explore a little bit more about how you came to that rebrand.
Definitely, yeah. So appreciate that very much so. We definitely get that feedback a lot, which always, every time I hear it, is amazing to hear. So we, previous to this, had like a more psychedelic packaging, very free-flowing, you know, I don't know, definitely different in the world, I'd say, of design. And that was really striking to people, and people loved it. It resonated with them, but they had a lot of questions about what it was. So many questions would come out of it. Is this, you know, have CBD in this? Is this have cannabis in it? Is this, you know, going to make me sleepy? Or it just wasn't telling the right story, even though it looked very cool. So that was something that we saw very clearly, and we're like, okay, we need to adjust this. We're really attached to the vibe we're giving, but we just need to tell a different story. So when we decided we wanted to do the rebrand, we found this great design studio based out of the UK called Boredom Kills Creative. And we came to them. They've worked on lots of really cool brands we love and respect, like Zabs and Leisure, different things like that. So they have a great reputation. And we said we want to maintain our general vibe, our general aesthetic that we think is very unique and, you know, specific to us, but we want to be more clear about the function of our product. And they led us through this amazing kind of brand sprint where we dug into our core values and the core differentiation of the drink. And again, really came to find that within this world of this huge competitive world of functional beverages, like having something that's a soda and that it's, you know, easy to drink, light, it's refreshing, it's crushable, yet full of natural benefits, is very unique. And that's how we came up with the tagline Nature Soda. And then we used our overall vibe, which is, again, very organic, free-flowing, took that, but then used a very specific illustrative style to communicate the flavors of the beverages. So really being clear about what's in it, leading with that, something that was dubbed thirst appeal, that I think is a very funny term to catch people's eye. And so all of that kind of came together in developing this new brand style that has just launched onto shelves in the last few months.
It's incredible. Love the design. You guys have flavors like guava basil, passion fruit lemongrass, cherry lime mint. Well, what's a flavor combo that you tried that sounded really wild? But turn out amazing, or something that didn't work out?
Oh gosh, yeah. So over time, since we began, which was almost 5 years ago, I've developed all different sorts of flavors. So we have a big flavor bank, and one of my dreams is to actually bring back a lot of flavors that we've done in the past, like some favorites that are a little too expensive to be mass, but I think could be relaunched as a seasonal, you know, special edition, are blueberry lavender.
Ooh.
Blueberry lavender. Lavender is one, some people, you know, love lavender in beverages. I'm kind of a skeptic, actually. So when I was playing with blueberry, I just tried it for fun, and it just created this incredible combination that weirdly almost tasted like cinnamon, like a blueberry cinnamon muffin or something, which I know sounds so funny, but it was delicious and people loved it. So one of these days I want to bring that one back. Another one that was really delicious that just tastes like summer is peach basil. We have another basil drink now, and I thought basil was, you know, going to be too overpowering in a beverage. But our guava basil one is one of our most beloved flavors. It's like quickly rising to be our most popular one, in fact, because I think, again, people are a little skeptical of what does basil taste like in a beverage. But whether it's guava basil or peach basil, it's glorious. So that's been a fun one. And then in terms of flavors that don't work, I mean, I love to explore with herbs. Herbs are so beautiful, I think, in flavor and function. Like, there's so many herbs out there that do such amazing things. I mean, the world of herbalism to me is fascinating. So have explored with almost every herb. And the ones that actually I have not been able to make work at all are kind of the more wintry herbs like thyme and rosemary. which I was really excited to use, but they create such a bitter profile that I haven't been able to marry well with other flavor profiles. So still working on that one, hoping that I can crack that at some point. But sky's the limit in terms of flavor combinations. And it's one of the things I really love the most about this beverage is how versatile it can be.
I love how much thought you guys put into each of these flavors that you guys launch. From a consumer perspective, it's nice to see how much care and attention you guys put into just making a perfect drink.
I deeply, deeply appreciate that. Like, really, when anyone recognizes that, I think that's what sets us apart from so many other products. Because, in fact, we actually still self-manufacture our products, which is really unique, especially in the beverage space, because it's really hard to do. It's really expensive. I know you are familiar with the manufacturing world. Like, taking on manufacturing, especially as a small company, is a tall task. But we very intentionally chose that because we care so deeply about the quality of our product. And we want to create all these different flavor profiles. So we wanted to have that be an easier ask than maybe working with a co-manufacturer who, you know, when you want to develop a new flavor profile, you have to agree to making an extreme amount. So those little trial and test opportunities aren't as accessible.
Right.
So for all those reasons, yeah, we chose to self-manufacture our product and we just put a lot of care and intention into the product itself for sure.
So what's this Gut Hut community that I'm hearing about?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, the Gut Hut is a hilarious name that we've dubbed our HQ. So in this area of Frogtown in Los Angeles, which a lot of people within Los Angeles don't even know about Frogtown. So for anyone that doesn't know, it's kind of couched in between this area of Silver Lake and Atwater. Mm-hmm. It's on the east side of LA and it sits right along the LA River, which a lot of people don't even realize that LA has a river.
Yeah.
But it does. It has a bad rap for, you know, getting drained in the 90s. And there's famous footage from like movies like Grease where you see it's just a concrete, like nothing. But there's been this beautiful kind of revitalization of the LA River that's happened over the last 30 such years, where nature just like hasn't let us, you know, completely let that one go. It's taken it back. And the area of Frogtown, there's been a lot of work done to rehabilitate that river. So all goes to say, we have our Gut Hut, our HQ community space right along the banks of that river. And it's a really special story because of what we're trying to do from a product standpoint, which is reintroduce something that's living and very nature forward into the food system. So kind of having, you know, this experience next to the LA River, it's a special one that means a lot to us. And this is where it's a tiny 100 square foot space. Originally, we were calling it the Shack, and then someone, like tongue in cheek, called it the Gut Hut, and it just stuck.
Such a good
because,
name.
Yeah, we're all things gut health related. So we have a little retail store there where we sell kef and other gut healthy snacks, really healthy snacks and beverages, and then we host community events. So we host hand building ceramic workshops. We've done breath work. We've done watercolor paintings. We've done junk journaling, all sorts of different fun things as a way to invite the community in and to get to know our consumers. And just because we believe a core conviction of our company is that health is holistic and it matters what you put inside your body, but it also matters how you connect with other people. And as a company that's really striving to help people, you know, improve their health, it's another way that we see we can live that on a daily basis.
I love that. Is there a lesson that you didn't expect to learn when you first founded kef, something about gut health, fermentation, or even just starting a beverage brand that changed how you build things today?
Oh my gosh. Yes, the lessons are exponential in terms of what I've learned from day one. But really what I hit on just when I was talking about the Gut Hut is something that's really stuck with me that I didn't expect to learn is health is holistic. Like I came at this after really diving deep into all areas of nutrition and understanding your gut microbiome and kind of what we need to eat and drink and how we need to act to nurture a better gut microbiome. But one thing that's slowly become very obvious is you know, give all the people the intellectual advice in the world about how to eat and drink better. But people need community. People need accountability to do it. And so in living out our mission, that's been a bit of a journey to get to about you can't just, you know, tell people what to do. You really need to live it. And you need to provide ways for people to understand that outside of just showing up on social media. So we've really strove to do that and had to toy around with different ways in which that can be accomplished. But delivering that impact to the consumer has just been so rewarding for us. So that's something that I definitely didn't expect to do from day one, but it's been quite a journey.
It's incredible to see, and congratulations on all the growth. Congratulations on all the retail expansions. Can you tell our listeners where we can find you around the country?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we are based in Los Angeles. So the majority of our retail expansion has been centered in our home city of Los Angeles and kind of greater California. We're expanding up into Northern California. Very shortly, we are about to bring on a very exciting new retail partner, Sprouts. We'll be launching there in November, actually. So very, very soon we'll be hitting the shelves, concentrated again in Los Angeles. But it's a really exciting partnership in which we will expand nationwide over the next year. So if you shop at Sprouts, know that Kif is coming in the very near future. But then beyond that, we have a store locator on our website. If anyone lives across the country, we are in a bunch of independents nationwide, including like Happier Grocery in New York, which you referenced spotting Kif originally. So if you want to go and check out where you can find Kif, definitely come head to our website and get all those details.
You guys are going to Mother's soon, right? I love Mother's.
Yes. Yeah. We just launched at Mother's. Yes. You said you're from Orange County and they have some great spots all over Orange County. Yes. We launched there about 2 weeks ago. So we're now live on Mother's and that's really, really exciting.
Super stoked for you. Thank you so much, Carolyn, for coming onto our show and sharing your story with us. I'll direct people to your site and I need to go pick up a case right now.
Awesome. Yes. We'll send some your way. But thank you so much for having me. This has been a pleasure and just so much fun. So appreciate it.